Hi, it's Josh Morgan, and this is the first of our podcast, London Matters, where I get to do the very interesting thing of talking with people in our community who are doing amazing things. As mayor of the city, I often get interviewed. I have to answer a lot of questions. This is my opportunity to flip the script a little bit and talk to someone who Londoners know and will get to know a little better through this podcast, ask them some questions, and also talk about the issues that matter to Londoners. And so today, on this very first podcast, I'm very happy to have Jeff McCowan join me to kick this thing off and talk about a whole bunch of things, and hopefully you'll get to know him a lot better. So I just want to say welcome, Jeff, to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Josh. This is exciting, and I look forward to our chat.
Yeah, and you know, it comes at an exciting time for you because you've just recently announced your retirement after 40 years in the industry. And I want to start off just kind of going back to the very start and like how did you get started and what was your inspiration for the career path that you chose?
Well, first of all, I can't believe that 40 years has gone by, but just over there at Canada Life, or the former London Life, day one they took a picture of me. What I looked 40 years ago, you know, I had some hair back then, Josh. And then we did a picture a few weeks ago. I posted it on LinkedIn with not as much hair, but there it is, 40 years. Wow. And interesting you asked that question, because I joined right out of university. And the thing that attracted me to London Life at the time was the people. I met someone, I met another person, I then met another person. You know, my dad was an RBCer for 42 years. And I was going to join RBC, but I met the people at the London Life, as it was called back in the day, and wow, it worked out okay.
So for those who don't know, and as you probably guessed, Jeff is the retiring president of Canada Life.
Yes.
Big company in London, a long time, as it used to be called, London Life, and now Canada Life, and major employer in our city, and insurance provider, as well as the other things that it does here in the city. So, I mean, just what a phenomenal career you've had. And, you know, over that time, from your perspective of, you know, moving through that organization and becoming its leader, what'd you learn about London, the city, and the people over that time? Because it's changed a lot. I mean, like,
sure,
we used to be big banking, big insurance, and now we've got all sorts of other things going on in tech and agri-food and, you know, really interesting things. So it's obviously changed, but what have you kind of learned over that time?
Well, I've learned a few things. One, back, I think it was in 1997, Great West Life bought London Life. I was a London Life, as many people know. We were 1,800 people, Josh, back in 1997. And I remember it was like, is this the end of London Life in this city? Today, we're a little over 4,000 employees. As a matter of fact, we have the most employees in London, Ontario, of anywhere across Canada. London's really important to us. So what have I learned? London was really important to the company 175 years ago, and it's even more important today. This is a hub for us. This is critically important. And the other thing I would say is that Canadians need advice, want advice, and the value of advice, counsel, is more important than ever for Canadians. But London has been a rock bed for us. It's been incredible. And we've been able to attract high talent here to London, Ontario. And I've always believed in London, Ontario, and our company believes in London, Ontario more than ever.
That's amazing. And certainly Canada Life and all the previous iterations have been, you know, a driver of our economy, a strong employer in our city, and also an organization, a company that has contributed in many ways and given back. And I want to transition to that a little bit, because over that period of time, you didn't just decide you were going to move up through an organization to the ranks of president, but you became a community leader at the same time. I just want to, and I know nobody ever wants to talk about kind of their what they've done, but
no,
I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh,
so
no.
Just so people know the types of things that Jeff has been involved in now, or over the past little number of years here: campaign chair for the United Way, Elgin and Middlesex, past chair of the board of the St. Joseph's Healthcare Foundation, past chair for 7 years of the board of directors of the YMCA of Southwestern Ontario. He's been the past president and a current board member of the London Chamber of Commerce, honorary chair of the capital campaigns for St. Joseph's Healthcare Foundation, Like, these are just a couple of examples of the types of things that you've done, and I'm going to get into some others in a moment. But you decided to be not just a leader in business in the community, but a leader in, you know, all of the other things that make a community great. So so why, you know, why did you choose to do that with you? Because you got, you certainly, you know, that takes time, right? And so does leading a company. So tell me about why you did that and why you think it's important for business leaders in our community to actually give back in those ways.
Well, thank you for those comments, Josh. Yeah, nobody wants to hear about themselves, but a few things come to mind. One, I was fortunate, as my two brothers are, to have two great parents who, you know, you watch by example, and they were heavily involved in the community. We grew up in Newmarket, and so my mom and dad were active members of the community. You subliminally watch that and you say, oh, wow, I guess that's the way it's done. So when I got involved with the company promoted significantly. Part of our job is, yes, you have a job here at Canada Life as we know it today, but part of our job is to be to give back to the community. So I've always taken that to heart. The other thing I would say is the organizations that you mentioned there, and we have lots of great leaders in the city here, every single time I've been involved, whether it's an hour, a week, certain amount of time, the amount that has come back to me personally or to the organization or to our family is absolutely tenfold. The other thing that I've learned is I never got an MBA per se, but I, you know, it's kind of corny, but I think I got my MBA 10 times over in the community by interacting with all those organizations you mentioned and all these great community leaders. The other thing I would say, I've always believed it's our duty as Londoners. It's our duties to give back. I've been fortunate, our family's been fortunate, but with that comes obligations to give back to your community. And so I always thought that's the way to do it. And you said something about time. We have nothing but time. If you organize your day, whether it's a Saturday, a Sunday, before work, after work, whatever it might be, there's always time to give back to the community. And so I learned from my parents. Margie and I have worked hard, both. She's very active in the community. Margie McCown, everybody knows her. But it's just the right thing to do. And we as leaders in the community, it's the right thing to do to give to the community, give back to the community. And it's just something I believe in. And by the way, I've met the most incredible, extraordinary Londoners of all walks of life by being involved in the community. I've enjoyed a great career at the company, but I've also met the extraordinary people who I never would have met, who many have become my best lifelong friends through being engaged in the community. It's a gift.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would say I certainly haven't done as much as you have on, you know, the volunteer side, but I have been involved in different boards, service club. Like I got to be the president of the Oak Ridge Optimist Club, and I would say you're right. You serve the community, but you make these really long-lasting friendships and connections that you rely on through, you know, the tougher times in life too.
And you know, Josh, it gives you energy.
Yeah.
Like when you give back and you do this, you get such energy from being involved in the community. So it's a gift that we've been given.
So I'm going to transition here, and I'm going to throw something that you don't know is coming.
Okay.
So a couple of years back, you and I were sitting together. I believe it was at Fellini Collini's.
Oh no.
With a group.
Was I okay?
You were good. Yes.
Okay.
In fact, it was a group of concerned leaders in the downtown area, of which you were one, about the challenges that the business community was facing downtown, and also the issues of health and homelessness on our streets, and the not only the suffering that we saw people having, but also the impacts that it's having on the community by people not getting the help they need. So fast forward a couple of years later, you're on the verge of retirement. Somehow I become mayor. And you and I are connected in this like partnership on, you know, health and homelessness and the whole of community response, where you have, despite being at the end of your professional career and doing all that you've done, had agreed to take on the fundraising lead for raising the public money to try to help us tackle this incredibly important challenge of homelessness in our city, particularly for those who have the highest acuity, significant issues with mental health, addictions, medically complex challenges, where traditional shelters won't take them. And so I know many people know about the whole of community response, but my first question for you is, with all that you've done and at the point in the career you're at, somehow when I ask you if you could do this, you say yes. Mm-hmm. Why is it important at this point for you to be involved with something that is so critical to the future of our city at a time when most people would be winding down to approach retirement? Why did you make that decision to say yes? At first, and let me say also, thank you for saying yes, because you guys have done a phenomenal job of fundraising on the community side on this. Beyond all the expectations that I had, and your leadership has been critical to that. So, but why'd you do it, and why is it important to you?
Well, By the way, I remember that Fellini Cleese. I wasn't sure where Josh was going there, but I do remember that. And no, you weren't mayor then, Josh, and there was a few people around the table. A few things go through my mind. I've always believed that you need to leave what you got better than when it was given to you. I believe that if you don't do it, who's going to do it? So when I drive down Richmond or move around in our community, and I see particularly what's happened, you know, since COVID, I will say, it was there before, but it's more pronounced now. I said to myself, as a Londoner, I own this. Like, I can either be on the right side of the fence or the wrong side of the fence, and I'm going to be on the right side on how I can make our community better. You know, we moved to London, Margie and I, with our three children, 30 years ago, and I remember coming here and meeting the giants in our town, and there were many of them, and they had built this town for us. Many of them have since passed on now, and so it is the next generation that needs to step up and to be a part of the community, and there's lots of them. So number one was, how can I, as a Londoner, just a Londoner, help make this city even better and jump it, because it's our duty. Number two, as an employer in this fabulous town with over 4,000 employees, I need to make it the best place we can be. So when you're out and your colleagues are out telling our story around Canada and around the globe, that you can point to this incredible city that you want to bring your business to, you want to move to, you want to live to. It has all these things that we offer, and that's another role to do it. And so when you asked, Josh, it was instant. Of course I will do it. As a matter of fact, flattered that you would ask me. And back to the point you asked a few minutes ago, there's nothing but time. And so it's exciting. And then we, as you know, called 10 other people and said, would you help out? Do you know that, well, you do know that every single one of those 10 people said, yes, I'm in. There was no hesitation. There was no, let's get back to you. There was, let's do it. So it makes me excited about people are passionate about our town. It's our town. If we don't do it, who will do it? And so we have an obligation as Londoners to step up and contribute and continue to make this town even better. Before us, people gave us this franchise, this asset. And I view it as our job to help all walks of life to make this even better as we move forward in the community. So when you asked, I said, absolutely. And we're going to do this. We are doing this. This is what's so exciting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I know you travel the country a lot, and in my role as mayor, I do too. And I can tell you, I'm still in awe, as are many other communities, at the group of individuals who came together to actually create the whole of community response. When you talk about not just the frontline agencies who've been serving this space for decades, but our healthcare institutions, the development community, the business community, city staff, you know, not-for-profits, all coming together.
Yeah.
I get people asking me all the time, like, how the heck did that happen? And how do we replicate that in our city? And I don't think I've ever seen anything like this across the country. And so the opportunity, I don't think, has ever been greater for us to actually make change. Have you, in your travels, seen anything else? Do you get asked about this when you're out in other places?
Josh, I've bragged about our town so many times, whether it be in the U.S., whether it be across Canada, whether it be to our board, the board of Canada Life, the Great West Life Co. board, Power Corporation, I've bragged about what we're doing, that we, London, Ontario came up with the plan, made in London with 200 community leaders. You know, we were the first or one of the first to come up with a plan. I'm so proud of that. Like, I'm so proud of that, of the Londoners who stepped up on that. And so I get asked everywhere I go in my role with Canada Life, in terms of, people will say, tell me about what's going on in London and that plan you've got. So I'm not sure Londoners know this, but we're on the map all across Canada and North America in terms of the great work we're doing. That makes me feel really good. So I get asked about it. I'm proud of it. And then I really get into my stump speech then about, we're going to do it, and we are going to be a model for not only North America, but for sure in Canada.
I completely agree. And I, one of the things that was surprising to me is when I get, you know, requests to do interviews with places like the Wall Street Journal and the things we're doing here, and I get calls from mayors in US and even some European cities talking about this.
Right.
Like, I never would have expected that at the start of this particular journey, but it feels like we're part of something that is truly amazing. And I know you'll join me in saying, although we're talking about it now and our roles in this, those grassroots individual 200 people and their organizations who continue not just to come together to form the plan, but continue to work as we speak on the implementation details of this, the monitoring, the measuring, the drive to make sure we get it right, and of course bring it into implementation. I can't say enough good things about them.
Well, I talk to, and you do all the time, Josh, other communities, and look at, there's the odd opportunity we've got as we implement our plan. But you know what I always come back to? What's the vision? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? We're implementing, we're in flight. We've got examples, as you know, it's working. So I'm pretty darn proud when I go across Canada and talk about our community. You know, there's many assets I talk about, but one of the things I talk about is the great work that we collectively are doing with your leadership, with the 200 grassroots. So this is a good time for London.
How did you feel when you were at the State of the City? And I played Erica's video about someone who went right from an encampment into what is our first youth hub. Well, and the work, and how that links, like, you do all this work and then you see someone's life change. What did that feel like for you?
Well, first of all, I had tears. Where I was sitting, the round table, I was at sort of the front of the table. My chair was pointed towards you, Josh. And I felt this enormous swell of emotion come over me. I had seen that video, but perhaps not in totality that morning. I mean, that, like, I could get emotional now. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is a young lady who's living on the street. She doesn't want to be there. She tells her story. We're helping her. She's helping us. So I was overwhelmed. As a matter of fact, I took that video and I sent that to three or four large financial institution organizations. And I said, I can talk all I want, but if you watch this video for 2 minutes, you'll know everything about what we're doing, not only in London, but trying to across Canada. It brings me back to perhaps your question, why do people get involved? When you get involved in the community and you can have small influence, small contributions to Erica, like, this is the greatest feeling in the world. And so when I think about people, when they say, where are you from? And I say, London, Ontario. And then hopefully they say, tell me about London, Ontario. I said, well, hey, sit back and let me tell you about the great things we're doing in our community and how we're making this an even better community. Do we have some challenges? Yes. Does every community? Yes. But we're tackling them. And so back to one of your original questions, that is, why get involved? It's our duty. It's our duty to leave this community better than we found it. We were given something that was amazing, and it's our job to make it even better. And when you do it, and when you feel amazing. So it's a great story, Josh.
Yeah, thank you. I remember, and people don't know this, but when I practiced my State of the City speech, I knew that video was coming.
Oh,
and the first time I saw the video, I turned to my chief of staff, Nathan. I was like, I'm not going to be able to speak after this. Like,
I don't know
how I'm going to compose myself and then go on to the next section of the speech. And so I actually had to watch the video like 20 times just to get used to it, because the next lines in the speech were meant to be very powerful and connected. And I was like, but when you're overwhelmed with emotion to see someone's life transforming, and you take all of that stuff that you know people have been trying to do, and you see it change one person. I know there's many, many, many other lives we need to change. Yes. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But like for me, it was like, I don't even know how I'm going to give the next lines in the speech.
Well, you got through it. Yeah. Thank gosh you watched it 20 times. It was remarkable, and I hope people go to it and watch it. It's incredible.
And you know, I want to wrap up on just a couple of points that you've made. First, I want to link back to the work continues, and Erica's story that we just talked about is just one of what will be many stories. And as the Atlosa Hub is now up and running, YOU Hub, and of course the supportive housing we've done, there are stories now starting to come out. The partnership between LHSC and London Cares with 25 supportive housing spaces on Dundas. Did you know that there's one individual who's in that supportive space now, who the year before was in the emergency room 221 times.
I did not know that.
And since, in the 3.5 months since that individual has been in supportive housing, has only been once.
Oh my gosh.
And so we're not only changing this person's life, we are taking pressure off of critical resources in our community. And when you think about the cost of an emergency room bed, we're also, you know, we're making investments, but we're also taking pressure off financially from other greatly strained aspects of our community, whether that be hospital services, you know, land ambulance services, you know, frontline social services, you name it. Having someone in the proper space with proper care is transformative.
I'm glad you shared that. I did not know that, Josh. But that speaks to the essence of what we're doing. That's a remarkable story.
Yeah, and that's just one. That's just one person in that 25, and there are other stories. And not everybody will be in a position to share their story like Erica did.
Right.
She's incredibly brave, but she's also in a position to do that. Other people who are focused on getting their lives on track and getting the help they need just can't. And so telling some of their stories, I think, is important for us too. Now, you said something that really stuck with me. Of all the things that you said, which I really appreciate you doing this, because I think it's been eye-opening for me. One of the things you said is you talked about the generation that came before you, and then your generation, and the contribution made. I want to share with you something my daughter said at the, we hosted the Association of Municipalities of Ontario conference here in London last summer. And I remember saying to my chief of staff, I got to give this speech.
Yeah.
And I've been to 8 of these, and I don't remember what the host city mayor said in any of them. So I'm not going to say anything that's important, right? So instead of me giving a speech, I went up there and I introduced my 15-year-old daughter. And I said, listen, to a bunch of elected officials in the room. And I said, listen, I don't know if you know this. It might scare the crap out of you. But in 4 years, next time we go to the polls, my daughter Ainsley will be a voting age and all of her friends
will be. Yes.
Yes. And so everybody in this room needs to listen to what she says if you want to inspire youth to not only participate in our cities, but actually maybe for the first time vote, because if we don't inspire them, they're not going to do it. And so she took the stage and she said a number of things. One of the things she said right at the end of her speech was, I believe in leaving the world, you know, a better place than it was when I came into it. And I can't do that if you don't do it first.
Oh, and, brilliant.
And
brilliant.
She meant like, progress is all about steps, and you got to set the next generation up for success. And Ainsley, who is 15, but her wisdom is well beyond her years, calls out the entire room of 2,500 elected officials to say, engage with the youth, make the world better, because I want to do it, and you need to set me up for success. So I think it links back to what you said. If we don't take this responsibility seriously, we don't set the next generation up to take us to places that we can't even imagine.
Well, Ainsley, I better mark that down, because she could be a great recruit for Canada Life. But how well said, though, in terms of that. And I mean, it ties back to, Josh, perhaps what you and I were chatting about. When we came to town 30 years ago, there were people who were setting the table, had set the table for us. And it's now our time, my time, to continue to contribute here. We all have to jump in and be supportive. And I think about for our children and my grandchildren in terms of how we can leave it a better place. So I think Ainsley said it much better than I did, but that's my belief. Her and I are totally aligned. And what a great challenge to the 2,500 people she threw out there. I'm sure people sort of looked at each other and went, whoa.
Well, what's funny is, as predicted, no one remembered what I said, but they all remembered what she said.
So, exactly.
Mission accomplished, right?
Like, well done to her. Well done to her, Josh.
Yeah. Well, let me just finish by saying a thank you for your years of service to our community. And also, and I know we talked about this before we got on the air, you're not going anywhere.
No.
Like, you may retire, but you're still going to be involved. You're still going to be out there and contributing.
I'm Margie and I, we live in Old North, and I'm staying on as a senior advisor to the company. But more importantly than that, you'll see myself and our family increasingly engaged in the community on whatever we can do to make this a bigger and better place to be. So you can count on the McCowans to be right there.
Well, thank you so much again for your services to the community. Thank you for being the first guest on the podcast.
Thank you. How'd we do?
I think it went okay.
I think so.
I don't know.
I didn't mess up too badly, did I? You did well.
I tried my best. I've never done this before, so.
Well done.
But yeah, no, thank you. And for those who are listening in for the first time, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you got something out of it. And if you like it, or you got an idea, or you got a suggestion on someone you'd like me to have on, so you could learn a little bit more about them, what they're doing in our community, and just learn more about the amazing things that are happening in our city, please let us know. Always happy to take a suggestion, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.